You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for thy word, thy person, thy presence. Make it all work, God. Spirit of God, do what you do to honor our Lord, to honor thy word, and thus to honor thee, our Heavenly Father. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we did in Sunday school, to remind a little, that we talked about the different words for old and new, so we understand when we say a new year, what's old, what's new, why is it new? And then we looked at the old things that passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things to become new. And we went through that a little bit. Why doesn't that work? Why doesn't that work for people? It's true, but it doesn't work. What is the problem? Where is the problem of why it doesn't work? So now, adding to that, that it does work, and it is true, and we try to deal with that a little bit. Now, in the light of that, Deuteronomy are an illustration for us. Deuteronomy, Israel, the example, Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians 10, etc., that the scriptures, the Old Testament, Israel, 1 Corinthians 10, is to be a great school teacher for us. So now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, remember Israel has been exited out of Egypt. Deuteronomy is written just before Moses dies. So they've already been in the wilderness, and Deuteronomy is being written, the second law, to fill in all the details of the first from Genesis to Leviticus. Numbers, to put it all together. And thus, as they're about to enter the land, chapter 4, verse 37, and because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and brought thee out in his sight, Exodus, out of Egypt, with his mighty power out of Egypt. God made possible the Exodus. Verse 38, he brought them out, exited. Verse 30, to drive out the nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art. And Israel is a great group of slaves. They are not military people, though God will address them as an army, even though they aren't. To drive out the nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in. Now, why are you going to drive out? In order to bring in. To give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. To give thee their land. Their land. It belongs to them. But you see, before the foundation of the world, before they ever occupied that land, they all went and did what they did, Genesis 11, and they were scattered all over the earth. And they all went, based on language and the rest of it, they all scattered out to their own way, their own doing. They all went where they went, South America, North America, etc. They all went there. Now, having said that, but God said from the foundation, with Genesis 10 and 11, in the very beginning, I had one spot marked out where every nation could go, wherever they want. But ultimately, I have a spot that is mine, and that is Jerusalem, the city, going to be, and the land. and that's for Israel. And so before anything is ever done, Israel has been allotted that piece of property. And thus, now, being rescued from Egypt, they, at the end of verse 38, as it is this day, as at this day, at this time, you already are occupying enemy territory on the east side of the Jordan. There's Manasseh and that. You're already occupying that, and you're to stay there. That's your land. That's your land over there. And you're going to cross over the Jordan, and that's your land. That's your land. And I've given that to you, and I've given it to you. I have handed it over to you. I have signed the title deed. It's yours. And without taking time to look, in Joshua chapter 1, 3, 10, 11, I should say, each one, 2 and 3 and 11, all of them, you're going to say the word given, which you're looking here. I've given them. I've handed it over. I have already done it. I have already done this. You aren't there, but you already have the title deed. You already have it. I want you to realize that you have the title to that land, even though those people are there. And this is for you, this land. I have promised and set apart for you from the foundation of the world. It's your land. It's my place. Literally, if you lead the map out, Jerusalem, Palestine, is the center of the world. The center. And that's where he is. And everything takes place, north, south, east, and west, in the light of Jerusalem. North, south, east, west. The whole world is viewed from Jerusalem. All the world will be governed from Jerusalem when the Lord comes. Now, so having said that, it's already theirs. It's already theirs. And they're to go, even though the obstacles are there, the enemy is there, they're to go and take that land. It is time, in God's timing, to take that land. Now, over if you would please, in the light of that, to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers in chapter 13. And you would note, please, in Numbers chapter 13, that they go to Kadesh Barnea. They go from Sinai, Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments, to Kadesh Barnea up in the north. And if you looked in the north, if you looked at my tie, here's the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, and right down, if you went straight north from Kadesh Barnea, you're going to go right, here's Jerusalem, you're going to go north all the way through the land, you're going to cut right through the land of Palestine. They were in Kadesh Barnea in the south, and they were going to come straight north and take the land. Now, before they did so, chapter 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, saying, send thou men, it's a command, send thou men that they may, the purpose that they're going to go is to transact business, to spy out, to search out, to wander about. They're going to search the land of Canaan, to spy out, to make a exploratory trip, to figure what is in the land and what are we going to do. Verse 2, which I give unto the children of Israel, to every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So you're going to take a leading person, 12 men, and you're going to send the 12 men north to spy out the land. They're going to go there, and they're going to go up for 40 days. They're going to take 40 days and go up through the land, and they're going to come back. They're told to come back, verse 20, And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, and there's going to be harvest. So when you go up through the land, you're going to come back and bring some of the goodies, the fruits, the grapes, the corn, bring some of this stuff back that we could see it. We've been so used to the diet in Egypt, and we've lived 40 years with manna. Manna in the morning, manna at night, manna in the all day long, manna. So we're ready. I want you to bring back so that they could be exercised, encouraged, that they're going, well, they would have been 40 years. They will be after this, I should say. And here they're coming from that manna, and they're going to go and have all of the benefits of the land of Canaan, the corn, the fruit of the vine, the brass, the bronze, the iron, the gold, the silver. It's all there. Everything you need to have a functioning, flourishing, flowering society. You're going to have everything. You won't need to go anywhere. It'll all be there for you. The forest of Lebanon, etc. Now, Having said that, and they were to go, and they came back. You would recall that they came back from that 40-day journey. And as they came back, they came and they did not. They were asked to bring a report. They brought back the fruit thereof. They came back with that land that floweth with milk and honey. And thus, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong. We strong. That dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and that those are giants like Goliath. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And here are all these nations, these peoples in this land. And remember, God told them, the people are mightier and greater than you are, but I've given you that land, and you're to take it. Now, having said that, the majority, the 10 of them, remember, verse 30. Oh, well, before I do that, let me go, if I can, do it a little different way. Let me go to verse 31, and we're going to go and make a contact. Think of going back and forth, and the majority report by the 10, and the minority report by the 2. So the 2 versus the 10, and all of the nation of 2 million plus people are all going to listen. 10 and 2. And here's the milk, honey, and fruit. Now, in verse 31, but the men that went up with him, the 10, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. We are not able. Now, this is God's will. It is God's will. It is God's word. All things have passed away. And what? Everything has become new. And you're to live like that. You're to live in the newness of a unique relationship to me. That's my will. That's what I did for you. That's what I've given to you. It isn't going to give it. He's not going to give it. He's already what? Given it. So you aren't going to talk about, I'm going to get it. It has been given now. So going back and forth with that in mind, let's go and listen to Israel and how they handle it so that we can learn from it. In verse 31, we are not able to go up. We're not able to do it. The obstacle, the opponent, the opposition is way more than possible. If you just knew all the odds, if you just knew all that was against us, if you just knew the impossibility of all this and the impractical, impractical. But the two, what did they have to say? Verse 30, the end of the verse. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. We're able to overcome. Think of last night and overcoming the overcomer. What we did, the overcomer. And why do you overcome? It isn't because of us, but the overcomer has made it possible, the finisher. Now, we did that last night. Now, so, verse 30, we are well able to overcome. So here's the report, one negative, the other positive. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. That eateth up the inhabitants thereof. It eats them up. The obstacle, the enemy, the opponent, it gobbles up every desire, every plan, everything we'd like to have and get. The enemy takes it all. We get nothing, they get everything. Now, that's the majority 10. All right, what about the two? The two, if I can. Chapter 14, verse 9. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. All the obstacles, all the trouble is food for us to win. Makes us strong. Trial, trouble, test, trauma. Makes you strong if you use it. It'll make you weak if you don't. But if you use it well, trouble only makes you stronger. Trial only gets you the better. No matter what, you're going to be better. It makes it. It's the way it is. So we learn that. So God, here's the trouble. We can't go up. We can't go up. The enemy will eat us up. Wrong. Not we're going to use their trouble and their problem that they do to us. We're going to make that turn around. We're going to capitalize upon it. And we're going to go and make it bread for us. That's what we're going to do. Now, if they're still listening, here it comes again. Here it comes. And thus, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. The cities are walled and very great. And you'll notice, please, the end of chapter 14, verse 9. The two give you an answer. Their defense, their walled cities, and very great, their defense, 14 and 9, their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. Don't you understand? We already won. It doesn't matter how big the wall is. It doesn't matter how big the enemy is. The enemy can be 5,000 feet high. It doesn't make any difference what it is. It doesn't make a bit of difference. Don't you understand? Ugh. So the 10, too much, walled cities. No, their defense is gone. They have no protection. No protection. All their protection is as nothing. Ugh. So, now, picking up, if I can, verse 33, the end of the verse. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. We considered ourselves as totally inadequate, and so did they consider us totally. We were not an opponent. We were having a little baby come against the army. They're nothing. We're nothing. We know we're nothing. What are we going to do against them? Their chariots of iron, their giants. Nothing. Chapter 14, verse 9, the beginning. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. What are you afraid of the people for? The people. Big. Their opinions, their thoughts, the newspapers, the media. It's all there. All coming and going. Your friends, your family, your neighbors. They're all saying what they do. Fear ye the people. Don't fear the people of the land. It'll kill you. God's will is what you're after. God has already done that and given you the land. No matter what the majority said, no matter how they feel, God has already given you that. Now, if you don't take it, here's God's hand, as it were, reaching out to give it to you. It's already given it to you. And you don't take it because all the people say, you can't. But wrong. God's hand is open. And it's yours. But you can't take it. It isn't right. You have no right. Who do you think you are? It really doesn't exist. It's a mirage. No, it isn't. It's for real. It's for real. And like we shared last night, you got to take a leap of faith from one foot to the other. Now in the light of that, if you would, verse 31. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. We can't go up against them. That's the majority, the ten, we can't do it. The two, verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Now, But let's talk about it. Discuss, have a discussion. Now, go. But we haven't made any plans. We haven't built any weapons. You don't need them. You've got the will of God, the giving of God, the hand of God. The enemy is all over. It's all finished for them. No matter how great and how mighty and how potent they aren't, they're going to be impotent. Unable. Go. You're able. We're able. Now, and the crowd got so excited about being able, that they jumped for joy. But you know better, don't you? The crowd, the 2 million plus people, agreed with the 10. We're not able. We're not able. And thus they lost out. They had no power. Do you know you don't have any power till you need to exercise it in the will of God? The martyrs, and using all kinds of illustrations. You know the martyrs that were burned and ripped and tied, and you listen, read their testimonies as best recorded from yesterday in the journals, and you read it. And they didn't have it. They're just there. And they had what he called dying faith. God gave them, when it was time, the power. You can't walk around and say, I'm going to go and lift the truck. And I walk around and go out in the parking lot and lift all the trucks because I have power. No. But when the day comes, you might be able to lift the truck. But not until then. Not until then. Then you have it. God gives it to you when you need it. There's the power. The power. They don't have any power. They die without any power. And not only that, they didn't gain. Did you gain any grapes? You didn't even get one of the grapes. Here's 2 million people. You know they didn't bring enough grapes for everybody. You know they didn't. So only some people could watch the elders eat grapes. You know. That's it. Wow. Now, so do you know what? That unbelief, that the majority report, the unbelief, we're not able. Do you know how contagious that is? Do you know what contagious is? Catchy. Do you know how contagious unbelief is? Is it contagious? Huh? Do you know how you're sitting at a table eating and someone you're trying to have a healthy conversation, and someone goes down, whatever. Do you know how quickly that can cool the conversation, and it lost its warmth in one little voice, and we all picked up the flavor of the negativeness. We picked it all up. Didn't we? Unbelief is terribly, terribly contagious. And the business, you're not able to do it. No, that isn't for you. Would you go over with me? It's contagious. Chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, against the whole congregation, and said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore, verse 3, hath the Lord brought us up unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain a leader, and let us return to Egypt. Would you please note in verse 3, Our wives and our children should be a prey. We're going to lose, and everyone in the next generation is going to, and they're going to, it's a concern for our own country. And you know, if we don't fix something this time, and you know they're saying it, and they aren't wrong. Even nobody's like me know that. They aren't wrong. You won't have an America, as you know. It'll be all gone. If this doesn't change, it'll be all gone. It'll never get fixed. And not that it will get fixed, because the train's going down the track and we can make things a little better, but it won't get fixed. Won't get fixed at all. It's all over. All over. Wow. Now, in the light of that, there'll be a prey. Our women and children, we're concerned about the future. Uh-huh. Now, go with me, please, over chapter 14. And in verse 29. Now remember, they're concerned about the women and children. That sounds good to throw it out to make it show we're compassionate concern. We're actually concerned for ourselves. Chapter 14, Numbers, verse 29. Numbers in 14:29. And your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, all 20-year-old men. Skipping down to verse 31 for time's sake. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. So you think it's the women and children. I'm going to spare the women and children. I'm going to take all of you men and those little children that you used, that you said, oh, we've got to care for them. I'm going to take them, and they're going to go into the land and across the Jordan River. Not you. You're all going to die, and your carcasses will lay in the wilderness, in the sands of the Sinai Peninsula, Saudi Arabia, if you would. Yemen, you'll all be out there. Now, having said that, verse 33, 14 and 33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. They're going to stay 40 days. You went into the land and didn't believe. And 40 years, a year for every day. And your children are going to grow up and they're going to become 40 years old or more. 40 years old. Some could be 59 years old. Wow. They're going to grow up. And they're going to, what are we doing here? We're watching for all of you people to die, one by one by one by one. And we're wandering around, one wandering, feeding, God caring for us. Did God care? Oh, fire by day, fire by night, cloud by day, water, food, manna. Wow! God, you didn't stop. No, I was the shepherd. I took care of them. But you know, they never, never, never tasted or saw or enjoyed or experienced what was in the land. They never had it all of their life. They're all going to miss out. They are never going to have in this life what they could have had. You say, wow, what they could have had, you know. And then we have it. We have it today. No, no. No, you don't want to have to be like that. That dumb place. They keep telling you you have to live for Christ and have a glorious life and be more than conquerors. Oh, that's a dumb thing to say. No one does that. That isn't practical. That isn't practical to have a new life in Christ. It isn't practical to have that. No, it's, oh, we're believers. We love the Lord. And we're there. And Bob, well, hey, do we have any? No, we don't have anything. No. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a stupid remark. No one can be holy like God. Ah, but he commands it. Are we able? Did he make us able? Sure he did. Because he always includes himself in everything he asks. He asked you for his hand, your hand, to lift. And he's the power to send it up. He's there behind it. That's right. Oh, so, you know. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, that's crazy. Everyone sins. No one's perfect. That isn't the point. The point is that he's able to make it so that sin doesn't domineer your life. Your habits, your concepts, your stupidity, your ignorance, it doesn't have to ruin you. On the contrary. Oh, no, that's just, we have a new agenda, our religious programs. It's not possible. Do you know, and now thanks be unto God, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Lead us in triumph. In Christ Jesus. In every place, every day. Morning, noon, and night. When you go to bed, when you get up, when you go to school, work, home, play. You're always going to be moving with God, in God, with God. And you're going to be victorious. You're going to be able to overcome. Huh? Nah, no, that isn't true. No one does that. We preachers don't even do it. We're professors in seminaries. We don't do it either. No one really does that. That's a theoretical, biblical thing. That God says it to encourage you. God didn't mean any of that. He didn't mean any of that stuff, you see. And the Sermon on the Mount, oh, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, whoa, blessed are the poor, etc. No, none of that, no, no. But you know, the king, Matthew 5, 6, 7, is about the kingdom. If you want God as to reign, this is what it's going to be like. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We already have the king. I'm not interested in whether it'll work. God said that's what it is. And you and I are to have a unique, saving, safe relationship to him. And therefore it all is. I don't have to worry about it working. I already have it. Don't you? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Ha, that's me. That's you. Why are we blessed? Because of the blessed Savior that saved us. He's the one. It's all about him. And so we got everything. That's right. That's right. Can you do it? Are you able to go into the land? No, no, we can't go into the land. Can't go into the land. No, it's too much. Too much to go into the land. No, the enemy, the obstacles, the chariots, it's impractical. It destroys our way of life. We think of Egypt. When we'd rather have Egypt. We'd rather have the Joe's pizza shop, said Joe's. We rather have all of these things the way it is because we like our life. We have our job and we have our future retirement, do you? And you have all of these things coming up and everything's going to be rosy and all that stuff. Wow. 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 We are able. Oh, no, 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 no. And we all listen to that in one form or another. by our unbelief, by our indifference. We walk around and we're indifferent. We're indifferent to what God would do. And we don't come across, it's possible. It is to be worked out. It is to take place. But we don't have that. We're believers, and let's sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." And we'll sing it. Yay! But nothing. So, we're not able. We're not able. And the believers, listen to the crowd. Remember, your greatest enemy will be a believer that isn't believing, because they're supposed to be, and you relax. You put down your armament, and you say, "Oh boy, I'm with a believer." Hang on. Is that believer a healthy believer? Is that believer with it? If not, it'll pull you down. If you follow him, it won't get you up. It'll get you down. So God, here we are looking. And the wilderness, the land was just to be crossed over. Just to go to Mount Sinai, Kadesh Barnea, Egypt, wilderness. We just went from Egypt to the wilderness in order to get into the land of Canaan, in order to get into the wonderful place where God would do a wonderful work in our heart. And so for us believers, just to touch it very slightly, if you read Romans 6, gets you wonderfully saved and set apart, if you would. Romans 7 says you've got to go through the crisis to learn that in you dwelleth no good thing. And God is able to help you do everything. Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, wretched man that I am, I'm able to do whatever. And not because of me, not because of the enemy, not because of anything, but simply because of you, God. We're able to do it. We're able to go forward in a most wonderful way, God. And so, looking to God, and then we get Romans 8. Romans 8 can't happen. Romans 8 won't work unless Romans 7 works. How's Romans 8 going to work? How's it going to work? I don't know. It isn't going to work. You didn't get through 7. God, you have to do it. The wilderness is there. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just when you get stuck there because of your unbelief. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness and all their carcasses laid waste there. Now, having said that, and in a moment of time, a little time, all gone time. Time hasn't improved in the year 212. Than it did in 211. It's no better than it was then. That's all I got to tell you. It's no better. No better. No better at all. And the clock doesn't care about years. The clock just ticks. And like we said about getting old, you know, all you do is get older. You're the same older person. See? A new you is one thing. A new year is another. Now, in the light of that, over if you would. Oh, Israel didn't get the blessing, didn't get the benefits of the Exodus. Believers need to get the benefits, and the blessings of being saved. They need to have those benefits. Now, are we able or are we not able? If we're going to listen to the crowd, going to listen to the world, we're not able. And none of it will happen. It didn't happen for the Israelites, and it won't happen for the church. It hasn't happened for the church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, the church in Laodicea, the last age. This is the age we're living in of unbelief, and the church age, the last one, before he comes. The church didn't get the message either. We have need of nothing. Remember? Probably. We need nothing. We don't need anything. We got everything. Baloney. You got nothing. Nothing. You got nothing. And that's how it ends. Because you don't ever. You didn't want the will. You didn't want the land. You didn't believe it. And you're going to die without it. And it will never happen in your life. Do you know how many hundreds of believers have died? And it never happened in their life. Never happened. They lived their whole earthly life, and they never knew anything else. Never. Never happened to them. They never knew it. And so it's a norm. It's a norm for us. So God help us. No, over if you would please. Oh, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17, you know, and you know the wonderful account. Wow. And you know the Goliath in the land, you know the Goliath and the Philistines, and the Philistines went out and they're against the Israelites, and the Philistines sent their champion Goliath out against the Israelites. And he said, if anyone will come now and come along and fight with me and can beat me, then we'll just call it even, and we'll have no more men die. Now, that was a lot of baloney, but that's what they said. If you just beat me, then it'll be all over. But that's what that was the plan. And so the Israelites were afraid. And if you read the account, they were afraid. Verse 11, chapter 17, verse 11. When Saul and all the Israelites heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were afraid. Back over to verse 9. If we be able to fight with me, if he, the one, go against God. Goliath said, are you able? The enemy said, are you able to overcome us? Can you overcome the trial, the test, and the provokes us and stands there and says, you are not able. Let's see if you're able to get me. That's what Goliath now. Goliath said, if you be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill that guy, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And of course they did, whatever. And David, you know, David came along. And David, when the thing got going, 40 days, every day the Goliath came out, and every day no one challenged him, the Israelites were frustrated. And David came along, little boy, and David said, what are you doing? That's a big giant. And when, I'm trying to be David, and look, and here's the Goliath in that valley, and on the other side, there's thousands of Philistines with chariots and everything, and big guys to boot, giants to boot. And I'm looking, I'm little David, and I'm looking. I got to tell you, that's a fearsome thing. And I look at the Israelites, and they're all there under covers, hoping they'll go away. Wow, David, are you going to have enough courage to overcome the immense odds against you? Absolutely. And Solomon and David, and we know what happened. You know what happened in the process? In the process, Saul offered him his armor. And in the process of that, verse 33, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. He's a trained professional warrior. You aren't able, David. See? The giant said, are you able? And they said, no, we're not able. And Saul, King Saul, said to David, you're not able, little guy. You can't go and do it. It's impossible for you to have that kind of benefit, blessing from God. No one has that. Let's just be good Protestants, Catholics, Muslims, whatever you want to be, and be that. We don't want to have any victory. We don't have any life in it. We just want to be religious. In essence, we don't like to use the word, but that's what it is. So now, David, and you know what David did, don't you? David went, and verse 45, if you would, David went in his wonderful, wonderful way. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And I'm going to kill you. No. Yes. Are we able? Absolutely. Don't get caught up in the baloney, you know. Well, we can't do that, and we're just going to be... No, you don't have to have that. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, they didn't have any positiveness. It was all negative. They had no positive sense. Everything became blah and okay and a memory of wishing for something else. But they never had it. Never had positive. Wow. David, you believe God can do that? I do. But is it a stone? No. But he's bigger than a bear. A bear I got. I got a lion and a bear. And why not? I focused, as you'll see tonight, I'll try to do it. You focused on Goliath. Not the rest of them. No, I just focused on him. And he was looking at me, and I went out, and I did what I did. I did what I did. Well, I wonderfully did it. Now, I wish I could pick up some more. I wish I could bang this home. We'll just sail along, and you'll get it. It'll just... But we'll have to wait and see if the Lord tarries. But I want to do something, though, that would help you. Over, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. I'm just stopping, you know. But I want you to be able... Not unable. Be encouraged. Don't sit there and give and say, "Well, this is going to have the same old life." No, sir. God made it possible for you to have something wonderful. Over in Hebrews, and in chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And you'll notice, please, remember the book of Hebrews is to grow. To get on with things, perfection, as we did last night. Perfection, that's what God's purpose is, to fulfill it, to fulfill all that he did. He made it finished. He's going to fill it. I don't have to worry about finishing it. It's already finished. I just need to go and let it happen. Ah, wow. Now, chapter 3, encouraging, what are you going to tell the believers, like us? Chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, today, if you will hear his voice, do something today. Would you please note, it does not say tomorrow. It said today. What did Joshua and Caleb say? We are able today, now. Go. We aren't even dressed. Just get there and go. And God will do it. But, that's the trouble. And when you say, but, tomorrow never comes. Right? I'm going to, and you're going to always be gooder, right? Gooder, betterer. When? It's a new year, I'm going to be gooder. When? Well, maybe March. Oh, no, it could be July. I got other things to do. I'm not going to be. No, tomorrow. No, it says today. Would you please go, verse 13. But exhort ye one another daily while it is called today. Do it today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today. Verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today. Chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today. David had his day, you've got yours. Today, if you will hear his voice, verse 7, harden not your hearts. Harden not your heart. Today, over to Hebrews chapter 13. Today. No tomorrows. You put it off. Who knows? Who knows when it will happen? You see? I'm not ready yet. Well, then, when are you going to be ready? Next year? Next month? Oh, come on. It'll be another year if the Lord tarries. And you and people are going to go through the wilderness, as it were, and they have nothing. Nothing for a whole nother year. And then the Lord comes, takes us up, And then you end up with what? Wood, hay, stubble. It wasn't that you couldn't have had something. You just didn't do it. You just didn't do it. Oh, I didn't become unsaved. I tried to be saved, tried to act saved. But you never enjoyed being saved. You're supposed to enjoy being saved, isn't it? Aren't you? Enjoy being saved today. Today, it's New Year's. You can still celebrate. It's the first day. Today. Ah, Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I'll close with that. I appreciate your patience. You know. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. No. Some of you think I said that. Whenever you always check the scriptures, be like the Bereans. See if that's true. It doesn't say tomorrow. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when are we trusting him? Today, 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 today. You have your past, all of your past. What are you going to do with all of your past? You have to leave it. You can't do one thing about the hours and minutes are gone. You can never have the next. You couldn't have 1 minute of yesterday back again. Not 1 minute of all of your life. You couldn't have it back again. It's all gone in the past. What am I going to do? I'm going to leave it with our Lord Jesus Christ. What about the future? Well, I haven't got there yet. I haven't got there yet. God, I haven't got there. No, but you're already there. And how am I going to handle the rest of the year? If there is a rest of the year, how am I going to handle it? Well, God, that's why I have you. I'm going to trust you. You're the same. I'm the same, trusting you. You're able to help me to the uttermost, save me to the uttermost. And God, here I am in the present. And I'm going to go and find that you're present. You're the same. That's right. You're the same one that took care of yesterday. And you read it in your reading. We have been delivered. We are being delivered. And we shall be delivered. Rescue. I already did. Already there. I'm saved. Are you being saved now? Question. Are you? I don't know. I know it's hard to wake up. It's late. Are you being saved? Are you being saved right now? Saved. I don't know. I don't know how you answer that. You have to answer that. I am being saved, aren't I? I am. Are you being saved? Today I'm being saved. Who's saving me? You are, Lord. You are the Savior. Today. When am I looking for? Tomorrow? No, I'm looking for today. Here I am, God. I left all the past, leave all the future because I haven't got it. I'm just here, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, thank you for being that your mercies are wonderfully new every morning. Your compassion fails not. See? They're brand new. And you take one of the words we did in 6 o'clock in Lamentations 3, and it will be that Greek word, new. New. They're new. Wonderfully new. Today. Wow. It's a wonderful thing, God. Think of all the things you could be discouraged about. All the things you could worry about. All the things you could want. All the things you could wish. All the things to worry about. But then, God, back to where we were practicing. Thank you, God. Thank you. So my past won't get me. Thank you. So the future won't get me. Thank you. So the present doesn't overwhelm me. Thank you. Thank you, God. You're the same. You never change. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and help us. God, help us. Thank you very much for caring, loving, for your presence God, deal with each of our hearts, each of our bodies, each of our homes, each of our health and wealth. God, we aren't interested in material success. God, you can make that as you wish. We just want to have a wonderful, wonderful sense, a wonderful experience that you're our God and we can trust you with all our heart and that we can proceed against all the enemy and obstacles and opponents, trouble, trauma, difficulty, trial, test. God, easy things, hard things, people, persons, places. God, we can do so because of you. So deal with us, help us. We are able. And we don't want to listen to the world, to persons, places, friends, enemies. We don't want to hear them tell us we're not able. Like Goliath, you're not able. God, we are able. And you cry forth from thy word and from heaven itself in your presence. Here we have it, God, now, right now. God is able to give you, to provide for you in every way, all the way, period. God, thank you very, very much for your grace and mercy and kindness. So deal with us. And for those who know thee not as Lord and Savior, God, help them. And encourage each one, God. It's a wonderful thing you have done for us to make it so that we are able to live in time, in a timeless way, God. To be able to enjoy time because we enjoy eternal life. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And if you would, we're going to sing one stanza. One stanza, please. 635. 635.